Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into some really interesting notes from LQ Baleen Notes.
Yeah, it's a platform that shares all sorts of insights in geoscience, research, challenges, the whole picture.
And these notes, they really give you a feel for what a geoscientist deals with day to day, don't they?
They really do. I mean, it goes from fieldwork essentials right through to some pretty cutting edge research problems.
So our mission here is basically to give you a shortcut. We'll pull out the key ideas, the interesting bits from these notes.
Get you up to speed quickly on some important topics in geoscience today.
Exactly. So where should we start? The practical side.
Sounds good. Let's unpack that. The notes kick off with field work, real foundational stuff.
Yeah, they make a point that even with all our fancy tech now, getting good samples is still, well, fundamental.
Absolutely.
And they highlight one specific tool, a portable coring machine.
Right. Not just as a nice to have, but really essential for collecting samples efficiently out there.
That's a good reminder, you know. The physical world still needs actual physical tools.
Definitely. And then the notes kind of pivot from the field tools to the digital ones the software researchers use.
Ah, right, like PDF readers and things.
Exactly. They stress how much more efficient you can be with the right tools. A good PDF reader for handling tons of papers, maybe a journal ranking tool so you can quickly see what's what in the literature.
Makes sense. Streamlining that whole literature review process.
Yeah, getting that background work done faster.
But it's not all just tools, is it? The notes also talk about bigger shifts in the field.
They do, yeah. They point to this pretty transformative change happening in geoscience research and education.
Driven by technology, I assume. And data?
Mostly, yes. Technology and, crucially, much better access to data these days.
Which leads into that concept they mentioned, open geosciences. What's the gist of that?
Well, it seems to be about this trend towards making geological data, research, even software tools more openly available, shareable.
Okay. So it changes how people work together.
The notes suggest it really does. It changes collaboration, how discoveries are made. It's a big deal.
But, you know, more data, more problems sometimes. They mentioned data heterogeneity.
Right. That's a huge challenge. Geoscience pulls data from everywhere now, seismic, well, logs, lab stuff, remote sensing.
All different types and sizes.
Wildly different. And making it all work together, integrating it, that's tough.
So how do they suggest dealing with that? They mentioned something called WIIP.
Yeah, WIIP. They don't actually spell out what it stands for in the notes we saw, but the idea seems clear.
Right.
It's a strategy, basically. You take open source software and you customize it. You adapt it specifically to handle and integrate all those diverse data types.
Ah, so like building your own specialized digital toolbox.
Kind of, yeah. To try and make sense of all that data chaos, it definitely raises interesting questions about flexible systems.
Okay, changing tack a bit. The notes also get into specific geology. Bioturbation.
Yes, bioturbation. So basically, that's just the disturbance of sediments by living things.
Like worms and stuff.
Exactly. Worms, mollusks, crustaceans, burrowing, feeding, just moving around down there in the mud or sand.
And they leave traces.
They do. You get structures like preserved burrows, which are called biogenic structures, or even things like borings into harder surfaces, which are bioerosional.
Okay, seems maybe small scale, but why does it matter geologically?
Oh, it matters a lot, especially for reservoir and aquifer properties. Think oil, gas, water.
How so?
Well, all those burrows can create pathways or sometimes barriers. They can drastically change how fluids flow through the rock. It's fundamental for resource potential.
Interesting. Is it hard to study, though? Did the notes mention any challenges?
Yes, they did. A key one is trying to estimate permeability, how easily fluid flows through in these burrowed rocks using standard lab tests.
Why is that difficult?
Because the samples you typically analyze in the lab, the core plugs, are quite small.
Right.
And they might not be big enough to really capture the effect of the larger burrow networks. You might miss the main pathways the fluids are actually using in the subsurface. It's a scale issue.
Got it. Okay. And finally, they zoomed in on a specific geological unit.
Yeah, the Upper Ordovician Glaciogenic Deposits, UOGD for short.
And these are important because?
They're significant hydrocarbon reservoirs. Big ones, yeah. Particularly across North Africa and the Middle East.
And they mention specific formations in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, within Saudi Arabia, the notes list the Zarqa, Sarah, and Hob formations as being part of this UOGD system. Key players there.
So when you look at everything these notes cover, field tools, digital efficiency, big data issues, tiny organisms changing rocks, specific resource locations. It's quite a range.
It really is. It paints this picture of modern geoscience being incredibly interconnected. You need the practical skills, the digital skills, the deep process understanding, and the specific site knowledge.
It's definitely not just hitting rocks with hammers anymore, is it?
Not at all. It's this complex web, you know, from the field to the computer model, and it all impacts real-world resources.
A really complex picture.
Indeed. And maybe here's something for you to think about. Considering the sheer variety we just talked about, from, like, portable drills to complex data software, from burrowing worms to massive reservoirs, how does that diversity itself show just how multifaceted studying our planet really is? You know, understanding the Earth and finding what's hidden inside it, so many different angles.